partnerships that benefit business, the community, and the planet? Maybe you have, but regardless, I think you're going to want to hear about this one happening right here in our community in and around the Southwest because it is really making a big difference. Welcome, everybody. You're listening to Down to Earth with Mrs. Green. We're going to be putting a very bright spotlight in the Southwest for this next 30 minutes. I'm Gina Murphy Darling, and as always, I thank you for listening and for being a part of Mrs. Green's World. And I'd like to thank the sponsor for this show and a great partner of Mrs. Green's World, Tucson Electric Power Company, also known as TEP. And TEP is more than a utility company. They provide safe, reliable power to Tucson residents, and they do more. They offer customers a wide range of incentivized programs to help them reduce their energy costs and build a better future. And they rank among the nation's top utilities for expanding energy storage. So you know I love that. So please join me in welcoming our two in-studio guests who are going to be sharing with us about a partnership that works and is an example of TEP's commitment to relationships that are beneficial to all parties. With me are Ernie Garcia, Housing Manager, and Hector Sylvain, Weatherization Assistance Housing Manager. How do I do with that? Isn't that good? I think that's really good. That's a lot. Is that on your business card? From Tucson Urban League. Welcome to both of you and thanks for being here. I'm really excited to be able to learn more about this program and to get the word out to people. So let's start with this existing partnership. It has existed with TEP and other organizations for quite some time. Several others. I mean, this is like what I call a complex carbohydrate. So, Ernie, do you want to start with, tell us a little bit about Urban League first so people know what that is, and then we'll get into what this partnership is all about and why it matters.
Okay. Thank you, Gina, and thank you for having us here this morning.
I'm excited.
Well, just wanted everybody to know that Tucson Urban League, of course, has been in its old location, if you want to call it, on South Park Avenue for many, many years.
Decades.
And one of the things that we saw is that we wanted to expand the services that we provide to the community. So as of the beginning of, I think I want to say March, we had moved over to 3425 East Grant.
Wow, central.
Yes.
And that's really central.
And basically, Tucson Urban League has been a provider of utility assistance, mortgage assistance, and other services throughout the community. We are now are trying to change our image and going into what we call the Financial Empowerment Center. That will be the new, if you want to call it, image for the new building. We hope to have and continue to partnership with TEP in having workshops that basically let the public know how they can save energy through the Energy Ease programs, how they can apply for our weatherization programs. And also at the same location, we still continue to do utility assistance programs and mortgage assistance programs. And we will be starting to do workshops for financial counseling for first-time home buyers, for post-home buyers, and other, if you want to call it, counseling, coaching that will help them hopefully fix their credit, be able to, in the very near future or the far future, buy a home and do all of those things. And those things we can do because in educating our customers, we are able to assist them in getting to the goals that we hope that they will have in mind.
And it's a much more central location, which is good, I hope, because I heard a presentation this morning from the RTA talking about how 54% of the people who ride buses don't have their own car. So it's really, it's on a good bus route, Grant is, so hopefully people will be able to access it. I'm sure that was all well thought out before you picked a new location.
Yes, and the other thing too there was that we were able to, if we want to call it, be centralized.
And serve more people.
And serve more people throughout the community. We are still doing and working with some of the schools to have workshops. In fact, we had scheduled workshops at some of the elementary schools and high schools because we know that, you know, some of the people way on the south side can't get over here. So we are trying to work with our partners, which is TEP, Southwest Gas, Tucson Water, and
Department of Energy
and
yep.
Department of Housing.
I know you gave me a lot of initials. I'm just like, what is this alphabet soup? ADOH, DOE, SWG, Tucson Water, and TEP. But that's a very, it just speaks volumes about this community, in my opinion. I'm very happy I live here because I see a lot of these working together for the greater good. And to your point about financial, helping people with their finances, I interviewed someone a long time ago on a show who said the only way to get to end poverty is to get people out of it. I mean, it sounds so obvious, but these kind of programs help people get their financial lives in order, and then they can get out of poverty. To me, it's so affirming.
That is absolutely true. One of the things that we hope to accomplish with our new facility is that once people see where we are and that they can have easy accessibility to it, that they will attend more of our workshops. Just like in the near future, we're hoping to do a weatherization orientation presentation that will basically walk the clients or the customers through the process.
It happens.
Yes.
Right, right.
Because not everybody, of course, is eligible right off the bat, but we hope to be able to expand some of those programs.
And not everybody knows what a weatherization program is. So, Hector, what is a weatherization program? What do you do?
Yeah. Well, weatherization program is a program that's been actually developing itself by new terms and new ways of seeing it. I know when I started on this program, caulking windows and weather stripping was a thing. We have moved on, and now it's based on energy testing. Everything that we do is based on testing. The easiest way that I could see it for benefiting the homeowners is that when I go out to their homes, I actually try to help the home to benefit the homeowners so they could actually afford to pay these bills. So everything that we do as a housing or the weather station program is based on energy. So everything that we touch is got to save energy. You could go from heating and cooling to even appliances. And one of the things that we've learned is that we have been able to help the home a lot, and the homeowners have seen the improvement of their utility bills. I mean, insulation, HVAC replacements, refrigerator replacements, duct sealing, all those little things that we don't see in a home because they're not viewable to our eyes. But at the same time, that's what's actually making the difference. Once you educate the homeowners as how to use the home as a system, not just to live in it, but use it as a system,
right?
They have learned how to manage and save energy. I mean, just leaving your doors open makes a difference. Leaving your interior doors open makes a big difference to saving energy.
And depending upon what season it is, you're either closing them up really tight or opening them up so clean air gets in.
Well, I mean, and that's one of the biggest things that we've learned through the process is that we test everything. So if the home is too tight, then we actually put ventilation on it. If the home is too leaky, then we bring it to the standard numbers that are based on the testing. So everything that we do is based on testing, and that includes from carbon monoxide testing to air tightening testing. So it is a very good program.
Do you actually, I mean, this is one subject that I really do know a lot about because I partner with Russ at Southwest.
Yes.
And their founder, Gary, he taught me so much about indoor air quality and how sick you can get from the air inside your home. So mm-hmm. I do know about that. Does your program actually do the testing, or are there contract employees with TEP? Who does the testing of the indoor quality?
Everything is done in-house. We're actually
awesome.
One of the biggest groups on the Tucson Urban League that have learned how to develop this blower door testing, the duct testing.
Got it.
So I'm pretty familiar with Russet. Russ is our biggest partner on the HVAC services thing, so they do most of our HVAC.
That makes me smile. I did not know that, but
Gary,
I love
Gary, great person. I got to know him pretty good. We actually sit down and have lunch together. So he did have a lot of conversations regarding energy efficiency, Sear, everything that's got to do with saving energy. So he was a big influence on
it's so interesting you're saying
well.
That. He was a great man, and you meet people and they just know him, and I miss him. I miss him all the time, and I talk to his son-in-law, Jim, sometimes, and I say every time I go in the bathroom, I think of Gary because they installed these fans that go on, and I don't know if he'd like being associated with it, and I mean, he certainly died way too soon, but he left a legacy.
Yes, yes.
Sure, he did.
Actually, he understood our program very well because of the, I know the partners that we have there. I mean, we have TP, Southwest Gas, and you have one that says HDOE. HDOE is the biggest rule maker, I guess they could say. They're the ones that actually make the rules for the program.
And he knew the rules.
Well, he understood about, you know, one of them was the ASHRAE 62 fan, they called it. So if a home is too tight, we have to install one. So he actually had a very good idea of what we're talking about. So he was good. He was good. Jim, great person.
Yeah,
as well.
Good man. So I'm glad we gave a little bit of time to him. I had no idea that they were partners of yours, but they're committed to indoor, really good indoor air quality. So I'd like to know just a little bit, and I probably should have asked this in the beginning, but I got so excited about the program. Tell us a little bit about your background. Our guests like to know who's here, who's in the studio. So Ernie, do we want to start with you?
Sure. Of course, I'm Ernie Garcia, and I've been around the city for just about all my life. I was the superintendent for the city's Tucson Public Housing and Community Services Department for over 28 years.
Big job and lots of stories, I'm sure. We might need to do another show.
but again, in the couple of times that I volunteered after I retired and came to work for Tucson Urban League, I saw the effect that was being created by the work that the guys at Tucson Urban League did. And I saw that as a place in the community where I wanted to be able to work with the partners that we currently work with and hopefully expand with some of the other ones that we have not touched based on or been with, and hopefully find other resources where we can assist a lot of the people that basically need our help in the community.
So it wasn't a retirement. It was just a blip on the screen. Here you are back.
You could say that.
My thing is, really, people like us with passion and missions, we can't retire. So Hector, what about you? What's your background? I know a little bit, and I'm trying, if people can see the smile on my face through the air, but to me, you're like a poster person for great programs that work, and look at what you have accomplished.
Well, my name's Hector Sylvanian. Well, I've only had one job, and this has been with the Urban League. I've been here since 95.
How awesome is that?
So actually, I started here with the Urban League. Everything that I've known and done has been with the Urban League, and I've been on the housing side of it. I do have the generalist contractor's license for the Urban League, and I also have the plumbing license for them. And my brother...
Boy, you're in demand in the outside world. I shouldn't say that, but boy, are people going to be wishing what's your phone number?
Yeah, so my brother also, he's been there. Well, we are three brothers. We've been there since then, since 95.
Kidding.
And one of them's got the electrical license as well. So, we've been there.
You've got it sewed up, but it started with AmeriCorps, correct?
AmeriCorps, where we started. And it was a one-year program where you did, we did fire training, firefighting, forest firefighting. We did landscaping, and then we did irrigations on the schools, and then we went to housing. And when we went to housing, we said, you know what, I'd rather be doing this than being out there. So
yeah, no kidding.
So we started volunteering for the Urban League, actually. We did volunteer work for them. So they were doing the weather station program where they were doing the caulking the windows and you know, helping out. So when the year was over with them, they actually came to us and they asked us if we wanted to work for them. So we ended up saying yes, and we've been there since.
It's an unbelievable story. I didn't know that there were the three amigos. I mean, that's how wonderful that is. And I have to do a plug for, as I said to you before we got on the air, I was in social services for 35 years of my life, and I saw government-funded programs work miracles and magic and have an impact and make systemic change over and over and over. So when so many of them are under attack in this current times, you're an example. AmeriCorps gave you a look at what you might want to do. That's what kids need. I mean, you were a kid then. I think you're still a kid now, but it's okay. Who knows? And when people, you know, at 21, who knows what a career, or 19, but you got the experience and it changed your life and the life of everyone in your life. You know, I call it the ripple effect.
Mm-hmm. And it was a great program because I guess once you were done with the year, we actually had an incentive of $7,000 to go to school. My brother ended up paying his ITT. Me, I started going to school, but then the job got a little bit harder, so I ended up staying working.
It was on-the-job training at that point. I had to learn a lot. But then getting your contractor's license, that's a big deal.
Yes.
to get an electrician's journeyman's license, I mean, it's lots and lots of study and night school and all that stuff, right? Mm-hmm. It's not easy to do that.
It's a hard test.
It's a hard test. Yeah, I don't ever have to worry about anything like that. So I'd like to ask if you have some reflection on this. You've both been in it for a really long time. You were aware of it, Ernie, mm-hmm. for a really long time. What are some of your biggest takeaways from this partnership with TEP and the impact it has? And not, I want to try to get to, there's a lot of moving parts in this, a lot of partners. What are some of the things that you think are big takeaways? People can work together, big organizations can work together. Who wants to take that one first?
I'll take it. What I see as the best takeaway from it is that we, along with TEP and if you want to call it our partners, are serving the people that need it the most out there. We have people that come to us that are in dire straits. You know, they may be at the verge of having their utilities turned off, be it water or gas or electric. And we, as an agency partnering with the Department of Housing, the State Department of Housing, or even some of the Pima County funding sources that we have, are able to help these people. And believe me, when you see the people that come in and are at the verge of tears because they cannot see having no electricity, especially when it's 100 plus outside.
Which it's going to be for the next 6
yes.
months.
And the water. We have a contract with the Tucson Water that they help us with those kinds of things. It makes a big difference in the people that we can serve. And yes, unfortunately, we can't serve everybody. We can only serve the ones that come through the process that we have set up.
Yeah, there's a qualification process.
Yes.
And I'm sure you wish you could serve anyone.
I think on some occasions, Maria, the lady that does the intake phone calls, has said on Monday after, I think it was one of the Easter holiday, we had like 974 calls in one day.
Oh, my gosh.
And we can only serve, you know, a certain amount of people.
So,
and that's the takeaway that we get, the gratification of being able to at least serve the ones that we can. And we do partner with other agencies in town that also do the same thing. But again, it's an ongoing task.
It's one of the things I love best about Tucson. Do you want to add anything to that, Hector?
I mean, the weather station program is a very unique field, I guess, because it's not a normal situation where somebody calls us and then we go and fix it. Everything that we do is based on rules. So sometimes if Southwest Gas can't help me, then I rely on TEP. If TEP can't help me, then we rely on URD. So it's different agencies. So the rules actually don't benefit everybody. So we have to know how to use our funding sources, which are our helpers, to be able to get it done. And sometimes, you know, it takes two of them to be able to do it, or sometimes, unfortunately, if they don't qualify or because the home needs more help than what that the weather station can provide, then, you know, we have to defer them to a different agency. And that's one of the good things, that sometimes they do have money for a roof, they do have money for plumbing, they do have money for major electrical upgrades, which the weather station doesn't have. The weather station's more improve anything that they have already. If they have a 10-year refrigerator and you replace it with a new one, that saves energy. But if you have to redo a roof or redo a wall or...
Much bigger deal.
That's where we, our hands are a little bit tight. And knowing how to use our funding sources is a big thing with our program, where we utilize them to where we can make it happen. So it's a unique. I mean, it's sometimes we've been there for so long that we think it's an easy thing to do. But when you don't understand it, it's hard to deal with it. We deal a lot with the cost effective measures and health and safety measures. So we don't have money for health and safety. Everything that we do is based more with cost effective measures. So if there is a major health and safety issue there in the home, it's hard for us to actually help the home right away.
I can't even imagine. And with weatherization, it's a lasting impact. It helps them on their utility bills forever. Once you get those things fixed, it really stops literally the leaking and helps to build a stronger financial future for them. So this might be a long question because I want to get a lot into it. But from my experience in the world, programs like this, the Energy Ease Plus, the programs that you're doing with weatherization, they have impact on the community as a whole, not just on the family. And one of the things I thought about is a big issue in social services when I worked with at-risk kids is missing school, because there was a lot of mobility, people moving like crazy, lots of transitory homes and living in motels and cars and all that. So permanent housing is a big deal that helps contribute to the success of kids' education. So do you have examples? Do you think this program has impacted the communities in which you are providing the services?
I would say yes.
I would say yes too.
I would say yes. In just the fact that what the guys do, and I know that I went to a what is called a quality control inspection that was conducted about a week and a half ago, And the lady was so pleased that the house was now, if you want to call it, livable and comfortable. And even with just the energy savings that she was incurring, she basically, as I was leaving, she says, now I can buy food for the kids because they're staying, you know, over with the grandma and that kind of stuff. Yep. And those are the things that we know make the impact, that now because of the energy savings based on the work that Hector and Victor and the guys out in the field have done, now those people have maybe, it may not be a lot, but they will now have money to be able to buy additional groceries or have, you know, a little bit more money to do something else with. And that's where, again, the programs that we are trying to establish as far as the empowerment and the Bridges Out of Poverty programs that we are developing at the Empowerment Center will hopefully also add to the savings and stuff that they currently are experiencing from the weatherization savings that they incur.
It's so awesome. And energy bills are a big deal in people's budgets. I'm participating in this thing called Scale Up with Local First, and they're training businesses. And it's a very intensive working with Energy Star at the EPA on how to benchmark energy uses. And one of the businesses that's participating, we asked them, it's you know, full disclosure, transparency, their electric bill in the summer is $14,000 a month. So it's a big company. It's, you know, it needs refrigeration and all that. But what this program is offering is to help them save 10% on their energy. Well, if you're a company and you're saving $1,400 a month, you can give people raises, you can help with a 401k, you can buy new equipment, because that's, you know, that's almost $20,000 a year that you can save, and we're hoping to achieve even more energy efficiencies. So that's a great point. It's like it helps people with their lives, which then helps us all have healthier communities. What are some of the barriers? Based on your comment, Ernie, there might not be any if you received over 900 phone calls the day after Easter, but are there people, you know, afraid? Are there people just flocking to the door? How do they learn about the program? And then are you successful once they learn about it in getting them in to apply? Because that's an important piece.
Mm-hmm. Well, and as I can say for the housing part, I have been going to the homes. I mean, I'm the first person they see. And after talking to them, you know, sometimes I ask them, why do you wait so long, or you didn't know about the program? One of their biggest fears is how much are they going to pay for this? Or, you know, are they going to take my house away if I don't pay? Or
got it.
They're scared of committing to something that they don't know about. That's when, you know, word of mouth is our biggest promotion right now, our biggest promoter, I could say, because now people understand that, oh, my neighbor, they did it. You know, it's
the best way, too.
Yes. And so we've done it that way. I mean, I think that's been our biggest turnaround. But we still, you know, we still have a lot of homes that we could serve, and just homeowners are scared of you know, going and applying. It is a process. I mean, it's a process that they got to go through, but it's worth it. I mean, we're investing from $9,000 to $15,000 per home sometimes, and as long
You're
as they
kidding.
Qualify, everything's there.
I didn't have any idea. So there's actually things that you can buy and purchase and give them assistance with.
Well,
for the
that,
home.
Yeah, everything that would invest is on the home and saving energy. Going from a, you know, sometimes new heating and cooling unit, if it passes within the testing and everything, then, you know, it's we replace it. While people have learned to trust us that way, we just need more people to actually go and apply. You know, they do qualify. Sometimes they're scared of the guidelines. They think they make too much money, or they think they don't make too much money. They'll be surprised that sometimes, you know, they do qualify.
It's so good to know this. I mean, I'm going to give you guys instructions on how to get this podcast out there to people because it's a very kind of transparent and benign way to educate people.
Yeah.
I mean, you can tell them they can listen to this for free on their computer if they mm-hmm. want to learn about the program. They can. This is probably an obvious question, but I have to ask it. Do you give programs in Spanish and English?
Yes, we do. We do have our pamphlets in Spanish and English. You know, we do have our intakes, everything. We do have a Spanish and English. So we do. I mean, Spanish and English are our main two languages. I mean, rather than that, we do get a translator. We have to.
Okay, but that has to be important. So, given your time with the Urban League, this is another one, a positive ripple effect on the community. What other kinds of things do you see? I mean, it's Hector, Victor, and Henry. Are those your brothers?
Yes.
I love it. I just love it. I didn't know that because it says, you know, have been with TEP for over 23 years. So what I want from this question is that's an impact on the community because you're employed.
And not
there.
Just, right now, there's another program running by the Urban League. It's the... what do they call? I forgot the name. Well, this they're training them for to do work on the homes or to do plumbing, electrical,
like home repair and stuff. Yeah.
So we do have three guys on staff right now that they came out of that program. The name of the program
it's
is
through the workforce program.
Workforce development.
Yes. Workforce development through One Step.
Partnership
they're awesome. With Pima County.
Yes, mm-hmm. That's another great program. Mm-hmm.
So they've been with us for 2 years. They did their training. You know, they worked with us volunteer, and then they ended up, you know, doing good. So they're young guys that are learning the trade as well. I mean, and they're actually been there for 2 years doing very good. I mean, they're doing their
job. And I'm sure you're a mentor for them, or at least a role model, I would think, and all of that, okay? Have you been able to measure, and I'm not asking for specific numbers because I wouldn't put you on the spot, but how do you measure the energy saved? Is that what TEP helps with? Because I think for benchmarking, the one way is to know the utility bills. And, you know, the only reason I'm asking is because to me, when I was in social services, doing the service was what we had time to do. Mm-hmm. Going back and seeing long-term effects, we were always working to, you know, serve the next client and the next client as long as we felt the current client was well served. Is there data on this or is that a good TEP question?
That is a very good question. In fact, our new empowerment center, we have what is called our Financial Empowerment Center Coordinator that now is taking all of the data, not only of all of the people that we serve in the different programs and the different areas, but through the Financial Empowerment Center, we will also be monitoring and looking at the energy savings and the weatherization reports that we are submitting. Because we feel that those are things that we need to be able to report on and show the community how it is that we are prospering.
It is. People want to know. I mean, mm-hmm. in this scale-up program, you know, all they talk about is benchmarking. And that's not just like one of my favorite terms. It's very mm-hmm. complicated, and they were working on these very extensive computer programs with Energy Star to put the data in. But sitting there and watching these business owners do it, they're doing it because they do, number one, is to save on their energy bills. And most of them are committed to a healthier planet. So it helps the planet when you're doing saving, you know, energy with people and giving them the tools they need. So how do people find out more about the Urban League? Website?
Website. We are currently partnering with, in fact, we are trying to work with the area councilmen for outreach resource.
That's good. Good.
In fact, I think we have coming up on the 19th of this month over at the Betty Liggins Center on in South Tucson. We also have one coming up with the partners at Pima County on June 1st, where all of the partners will be there, and Hector will be presenting the weatherization program.
It makes me want to go, Hector. I'm not sure I will. I'm not going to commit to that. TucsonUrbanLeague.org is the way you can find it. They have a Facebook page, TUYLP. I don't know what that stands for.
Tucson Urban League.
Tucson Urban League, okay. And then you're on Twitter at Tucson Urban League because people find information out in different ways, and I just want to thank you both. This was a great show. Great show on May 29th with Dr. Catherine Hayhoe, Climate Solutions. Science, Global Warming, Why It's Humans Time, and our Down to Earth show with Tim Sibley and Phil Gibson, Indoor Air Quality. Could I make that up from Russ and Southwest? Thanks, both of you, for taking the time and for all that you do for our community and the planet. It was a great interview.
Thank you for having us.